For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for another in our UFA series. Joining me today is Eric Clark. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Thanks for having me on. How about yourself?
Life is good. A little bit busy. Combine day, three pods, but life's good when we're talking football all day. Eric, who is your guy?
So Dre Greenlaw is my guy, which seems a little unconventional based on, hey, we let PQ go, so why would we need to pay two inside linebackers? I'm on the island of my own, I believe, in saying that, hey, having another inside linebacker is very important for Roquan. I know PFF isn't the end-all, be-all, but whether you watch the tape or you take the PFF grade with a running mate that he could trust, a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker, in 2023, Ro had a PFF grade of 77.9. This past year, it went down 65.2. Whether you want to say that's defensive scheme, whether that's him having to feel like he had to do everything out of shape, whatever you want to see fit, I think it's also part of it that he didn't have someone else that was his equal counterpart in his mindset. So I think that's understated by trying to patchwork it, because I know we went back to the 2019 season about inside linebacker and having low cost there that got us success on the field. Mm-hmm. But once we invested in having inside linebacker like Roquan Smith, I think we're more looking at something like the 49ers did and having two dominant inside linebackers to secure the middle of the field.
With Willis and Bowman, you're talking about, yeah.
Willis and Bowman now, even with Warner and Greenlaw. Okay. That's why we're looking at it. And if we're going to try to get more pressure with the front four, right? So that way you can trust those. And that's what I was looking into as I dove deeper into how much PQ was important to Roquan. Because in this past season, you can kind of see it even on tape that Roquan was kind of used as a quote-unquote pick setter. And I got that from some of your defensive notes in 2023, where that was a lot of PQ's role.
Yeah,
and that's just not Roquan's specialty. He's not built for that, whether you want to call it athleticism, height, whatever you want to make it, or just recklessness. Because you can kind of see where PQ and sometimes his highlights doesn't even look like he's going for the sack. It's just like, hey, my job is to get this guy out of here so that these true pass rushers can finish the job.
I forget which game it was, but I think Tony Dungy called him out for it right away. He actually set a pick when he had a clear lane to the quarterback, and it's just a weird situation, obviously, to come up in a game.
Yeah, I think your defensive notes, I think it was – well, no, it might not have been this game, but I know it was week four in 2023. That's why I went all the way back. Week four of 2023 in defensive notes, you had that he set the pick for Madubuike.
Okay.
So, and he had crashed it down like that, where it kind of was similar. And I don't think it was Sunday Night Football, because we wouldn't have been playing them on week four. I think it was the Titans, but in 2023, we wouldn't have been. But it was one of those similar situations. Like, what are you doing? Oh, Matt BK got the sack. Okay. Thanks, BQ.
Yeah, it was something he did pretty well at. And Greenlaw is a guy who brings you some coverage as well. So Roquan has been a guy who's been forced, I think, into more of a coverage role, yeah, given absolutely. the deficiencies they've had with the combination of Harrison, maybe Board a little bit less of a coverage liability, but still they didn't have him for the whole year. Does that provide you with some hope that would be a gain as well?
Absolutely. I definitely believe the coverage thing. I mean, if you look at it, I'm the 49ers, whether you want to say it's Greenlaw's coverage skills, the trust in the front four, a combination of both. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the comparison. Of course, with Greenlaw's injury, we're looking at 2023 him versus PQ 2023 for a lot of comparisons as far as impact, right? So in 2023, PQ was in coverage about 58% of the time. Dre Greenlaw was in coverage about 63% of the time. So Dre Greenlaw was – but PQ set picks, so it was a pass rush around 10%. Greenlaw only 5%. So it's easy to do the math there that, 49ers wanted to trust their front four more. All those numbers are according to PFF. So
I'm looking at it right now. So it's 56 out of 999. So that's really taking his total snaps as opposed to just the pass rush snaps. Mm-hmm. So it's a little under 10% anyway, as a percentage of.
Yeah, like 9.8, something like that. But yeah, it was close enough where you can see it was an easy correlation there. But yeah, Dre Greenlaw, like in a divisional playoff game where he had those two picks, is very covered, very comfortable dropping in that hook curl zone in the middle of the field, reading linebackers, and then even to a fault, he's looking to be a playmaker, like the Warner and the people said. And when he got those picks, individual play that playoff game, go down. He's always looking to try to go down, go to the house with his picks and everything like that. So
he hasn't given up a whole lot of touchdowns career. In 23, he did happen to give up four touchdowns, but he's also got five picks in his career, and has a career rating as PFF grades in. And the reason I mentioned this is that PFF is very aggressive about pinning inside linebackers with targets between level 2 and 3.
Absolutely.
And so they've got him at a 92.2 opposing QB rating. That's pretty good for an inside linebacker. There aren't a whole lot of inside linebackers who are a lot better than that. And there's certainly, if you're an inside linebacker, typically you give up a very high percentage of completions because there's a lot of swing passes and screen passes that are your responsibility that are almost all complete.
Like you said, yeah, they're very harsh on it. So basically, if it's under 100, then you're doing well as an inside linebacker. I think PQ in his pro years were like 96 rating, I believe, allowed up, something like that. So yeah, that's what you said. You're getting the coverage upgrade in it, and Greenlaw doing like that. So
okay, so if you're, what would you see as the gain to the 24 Ravens if they had Dre Greenlaw on the team in terms of 25? What downs would they really gain on? So I guess what I'm saying is you had a situation by the end of the year, and that's all that's pertinent, frankly, because what they did at the beginning of the year and Trenton Simpson's situation or whatnot, I guess that does matter in terms of who's playing. But they had Harrison on for a fair number of early down snaps at the end of the year playing weak side linebacker. I guess you'd say that's a pretty big gain to have Dre Greenlaw on, maybe in all aspects of play at inside linebacker relative to Harrison.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, it helps dictate it with personnel, whether you want to, because on the defensive side, whether you're looking at offensive personnel or early down situations, you're going to be looking at Malik Harrison on the field. So then if you have the playoff caliber quarterbacks that we're looking at, whether it's first down, whatever it may be, they're going to be looking at, hey, let's exploit their quote unquote run linebacker with the other heavy play action, middle of the field coverage. And we kind of saw those highlights bear witness throughout the season, as opposed to Chris Boer, and then vice versa another way. If you're swapping out that running mate with your inside linebacker, then when the goals that they do to reach the Super Bowl, when you're playing against someone maybe in a Super Bowl like Hurts, or even in Buffalo Bills where they have two tight ends or an inside or a slot receiver like Khalil Shakir, congrats to him on his contract extension, where they're trying to attack the middle of the field, then they can dictate it based on your personnel. But if you have two stalwarts in the middle, then that's where Dre Greenlaw provides the build that I can attack the run, I can attack the pass. You're not going to dictate it based on who we have out there. Me and Ro are going to be out here, and we're going to handle it no matter what.
Right. I think the gain is less on obvious passing downs because I think Board gives you a little more in that situation. But they were in a situation where they had Board in on some early downs because they wanted Harrison to be in as an edge setter on the base defense. And I didn't think that was helping the team too much. I thought that's probably having a guy you'd prefer not to have out there in run defense.
Absolutely. You know? He's light. Even though he's tall, I believe, 6'2", 240?
He's not as big as 240. He's like 225 or something.
What they listed at, but yeah, it might be wrong listing. You know, it might have lightweighted it. But yeah, something like that.
Oh, jeez. PFF has him at 244. I don't believe that.
I think the Ravens have him at 239, right? But yeah, anyway.
That would I would be shocked if that's new news to me. I want to hear. Okay, so what do we got here for Chris Board? 240.
Yeah, boy. That's what I said. I thought he was like 62 out of North Dakota State, right? So yeah, that's what I'm at. So yeah,
you learn something new every day. Definitely,
I only know that because I have a friend that goes to North Dakota State. He does the sports stuff up there. So his name is Oliver. So he gives me all the sleepers and stuff like that. So he was on Chris Board for quite a while. So. He does the play-by-play. He was going to do the play-by-play for the Baltimore Lightning until that fiasco happened. But, hey, it is what it is.
Well, Board will be back, I'm sure, with the Ravens this year. He's a player that they really key in on special teams. He got a C patch. So he'll be back. I think there is some question whether Harrison is back or whether he's back with that qualified veteran contract, because the Ravens really have two guys I think they'd like to give it to other than him. It's Dre Greenlaw is an interesting prospect here. Let's get back to him. Would you have him playing all three downs then, or would you have him still be potentially replaced by a dime back?
I would try to keep him down on all three downs, but I know the injury history there, and even his history playing time when healthy in 2022 and 23 only kept him around 75% of snaps on average from when I looked at it. He is, with his injury history and potential investment in him, because he won't be on a rookie contract like PQ was, you probably don't want him trying to play 96% of the snaps like PQ did, especially if you have a good coverage linebacker like Chris Board, where you can say it's even going to be a plus with Board or not. So I would try to, like I said, not have him in there at dime backer as much, but I would at least like 75% of snaps, where it's like, hey, that's where we're at, and that's where we're comfortable at to keep you as durable as possible throughout a long season.
That's a very reasonable percentage if you're going to get a dime back in there. Otherwise, I don't think Board is your dime back in that situation. I think it's Hamilton, or I think it's another safety as yet to be determined. It could, absolutely. You know, it could be a Sanusi Kane, or it could be somebody like that. But Braden Kane are both dime back candidates. They're not really back end guys, so would like to see one of those guys.
Nick and Moore, right? I said the safety that's from South Carolina that everyone keeps.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably going to try to be it, but he wants to play next to Kyle Hamilton, so we'll see.
I hope they do find a guy with free safety skill set, the back end guy who can do that. And that guy's worth spending some money on the draft. If you're going to get a guy who doesn't have that and is a true strong safety, I want him to be a bargain basement draft guy, because Ravens have been very successful at finding those guys. Extremely successful.
Absolutely.
All right. So now let's get to the big question here, which is, you know, Dre Greenlaw is clearly a quality player. How much are you willing to pay for him, and where are you going to get the money? Who's off the roster because of this?
Yeah, that is tough. I'm in the camp. I know Andrews is the big thing, but I know that's what we're looking at to save money. We can go player for player by saving $11 million, whatever you do with Mark Andrews there, because we have Likely, we have Kolar. So I believe it will insulate in that position to save the money there. Now, with Greenlaw, the contract expectations were so different based on similar players, in my opinion. So the two players that I use were TJ Edwards, if you remember him. He came from Philly as a highly productive player. Weirdly enough, and Al Shaiir, the one that got signed by the Texans. Okay. So TJ Edwards got a 3-year, $19.5 million deal. So around 6.5 annual average value. Mm-hmm. While Al Shaiir got 3 years, 33, I believe. So around 11 million. So because he was, but I believe he might have got a coach boost where he was going into D'Amico's system. So that's where D'Amico wanted to get his guy. So
those are pretty wide goalposts.
Exactly. So we're looking between 6.5 and 11. So,
yeah.
But it's similar production, similar expectations from the media, where there's no real accolades, just productive players in their certain systems. So with Greenlaw, I wouldn't put him up there with Al Shaiir because of the injury, but I put him slightly above of TJ. So I had him, as you said in your tweet, which got me here on this episode. You said, what was the max that I'd be willing to pay? Mm-hmm. 4 for 30 is what I said. So about 7.5 a year, right? So if you do 7.5 a year, that would put him around, like I said, that line of the TJ Edwards. I would put him around the line of that time where he's just getting maybe a 2-year bump. We call it a cost of living adjustment, you know, with it going up above $6.5 million. But I would put him in that same category because of the injury. And then he would have to make a choice if he wants to try to be the rarity like a Zach Bond, where he's okay with that. Because I know he was in an interview that's circulated on Twitter where he said in his Christmas game when he came back, what did he want for Christmas? He wanted money. As a fifth-round pick, he hasn't had that luxury of being guaranteed or being rewarded for his play. So this is his first attempt at a second contract. So
he's been in the league for 6 years, so he must be on a second contract now, right?
Yeah, he had the value contract. I mean, but he was trying to get paid. He gave the 49ers extra 2 years. I believe it's 2 years, $16 million contract. But he hasn't had the true break the bank, you know, $10 million a year contract. Yeah. I believe he had the 216 extension technically, and to try to reward them for it. But yeah,
taking him a notch down from that, but you're cutting his pay by about 10%, you know, from a starting point that's 2 years later with a higher cap in total.
Yeah, so that's the, I know that's the discount. I mean, that's what he had to do. But the kicker would be, hey, injury. If we're doing 4 for 30 injury, and then we're trying to give him the first 2 years almost guaranteed, I would have to save $15 million guaranteed on the 4 for 30. That would be tough to do, but mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing that you could entice him with, more money up front as opposed to, or more money guaranteed, I won't say up front, but more money guaranteed as opposed to taking a vetman. And you're trying to take that risk to lock it down because it'd be cheaper than PQ, cheaper than Al Shaiir, a little bit more expensive on the guaranteed money for it.
Okay. I think that makes sense. We talked about Myles Garrett's situation today on a different pod. It was a trade for Myles Garrett pod. What would it take? And you know, the one thing you come to is the Browns have, to their own detriment, leveraged Garrett's contract so far that they've essentially paid him all of the money he's due in 25 and 26 already. He's got like $3 million and plus a few bonus dollars in there. And it's like the guy he's asking for a trade, I think in part because he doesn't really want to show up for work for that money.
Absolutely.
He certainly doesn't want to show up for the Browns. But even if he were traded to the Ravens, you know, in theory would still have that contract in place for 2 years and the contract would have some value, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any trade value because he's definitely going to demand a new contract to play exactly. His first game with the Ravens.
Exactly. Exactly. So
I think with Greenlaw, you got to have, and with anybody, you really need mm-hmm. to have back-ended money. So the guy is still playing to preserve his future dollars all the way through that contract.
I would definitely agree with that. So it was just, yeah, however you want to create it so that way is that, but you just have to give him, I would think, some incentive to say, hey, we're not going to lowball you on a guaranteed money, wherever you want to put that money at, and just say, hey, you have to take the choice. If you think you're Zach Bond and want to go back to San Francisco for $3.5 million and then try to cash out next year and be the rarity, or hey, we're going to believe in the player that we saw in 2023. Give you this money now, lower than what you believed and even what you re-signed for before, and say, hey, we want to bring you to the Ravens culture, winning team, and give you some money. So that way right. you don't risk the chance, as we've seen with some players, get injured and lose that opportunity at any type of money. So
So. You just said something that I wonder how much players really put a value on is, you know, come to the winning culture of the Ravens. Well, dude, the Ravens have been one of the best teams in football. They've been a consistent playoff team. All of those things are true. I just don't think any team, any player from outside of this organization, at the minimum, I won't blame this, I won't pin this on everybody in the organization, is really saying that's a thing of tremendous value. And it's funny, even like players who come from just horrible situations in other organizations, I don't think they even can put a monetary value on it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why with the Ronnie Stanley thing, I heard that he's trying to take the discount to stay, because I know he was on a podcast saying he values winning over money. So anytime he plays with Lamar Jackson, he thinks he has a chance at winning. So I don't know if Dre Greenlaw is in that weird situation with that fluke injury of being in a Super Bowl, being one of the contributors, and then having that Achilles injury on the sideline. If he feels like, hey, you know, not being in San Francisco where it's always up and down, and we're going now, I want to get back to that game and have a realistic chance back at that game.
Okay, so let's restructure this contract in a different way. I'll just say, if you're giving him a one-year deal instead and he wants a one-year prove-it deal, what's your it probably have to be incentive laden for starters, and he didn't play too much last year, so he can beat a lot of his NLTBE incentives naturally. How much, what's your base, and how much in incentives would you be willing to go?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me see. So we go with the salary cap increase. If he's, I'm going to keep using the bond thing because I believe in his mind, he believes he's like that. So we go 4 base with a max value.
By the way, that was my exact number is 4.
Yeah, 4. If he believes he can become a Pro Bowl, let's just even say that, because he's had the hype to be a Pro Bowl, but never been one, really. So let's go 5 million in incentives, I would say. Okay. 1 year, 9 million max is what it would go. If I'm looking at 7.5 off of, if I would do that with no incentives, 9 million with incentives is where I would be willing to go.
Okay, I think that's very reasonable. I think if given two structures, given a flat 7.5 million per year for 4 years, I'd be much more happy with four plus a maximum of 5 for 1 year. The other thing is, you're buying into a player who's 28 now in his seventh year in the league. You're paying for years 7 through 10. There's a lot of risk entailed for the team in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why, like I said, 2 years max, but he had a 1 year contract. I definitely see why you asked that question. I see where that would be an alternative if he's willing to do that. It's just that, like you said, with him, quote unquote, maybe having a lot of suitors or being happy in San Francisco, for us to get him out of there, we might have to do something a little bit riskier, a little bit different. That's all.
San Francisco needs every dollar they've got to pay Purdy and some other players. So they're gonna have to. You know, it looks like they're gonna have to let Brandon Ayuk go. I don't know if it's gonna be by cut or they're gonna manage to get some sort of I'm not even talking about
Debo. Debo.
And so I don't know if it's gonna be cut or they're gonna have to get a small trade return for him, but. You look at his contract, I don't see why anybody would want it.
No. Don't be cut. Yeah, I don't know what they did with that with the receivers there. This kind of San Francisco was weird, but that's a whole another case. It's a whole another case. They should never paid Ayuk or Debo, but it is what it is. So
all right. Eric, you've been on the show a number of times before, but thank you for coming on again. Always appreciate talking football with you. Where can folks talk football with you online?
No, you can definitely find me on Twitter or X, as we like to call it. At Greatness Calls is where you can see me at. So I'm always there. As Ken knows, that's how I got here today. I'm always talking football, always engaging with people, always throwing out some opinions and looking up some stats and things of that nature. So message me, engage with me. I love football. As Jason says at Huddle Up Films, football is family. So.
There you go.
Ms. Flack, I appreciate you.
It's a good place to start. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm going to put out one more appeal here. I do this occasionally. If you in particular see extremely good visualizations about statistics, and in particular, if it's a new statistic you haven't seen before that seems like it might be interesting, or a new chart or a new way of expressing a statistic, forward that to me, please, and I'll try and get that person on the show directly. Just helping out the show in those terms. Usually create video content on that and give the guy an opportunity to show off his own new formula and how he's calculating this thing. Eric, thanks again for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Ken, for having me. It's always a pleasure talking football with you. So.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study. All right.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.